Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And congratulations, I say through gritted teeth, Manchester United fans. First trophy of the season, Erik ten Hag's boys, and they fully deserved it. Good performance by them today, right?
They're going to win a lot of trophies under Ten Hag, aren't they?
Get that feeling, don't you? You get that feeling. Mm. How good is Casemiro today? And what a revelation he has been since he's been in the team.
Yeah.
Didn't take a genius, I don't think, to figure that out. A lot of Man United fans looking back to the McFred era under Solskjaer and others and going, well, I've got a bit of a problem here in centre midfield. All of a sudden, they bring him in, they get rid of the toxicity that was surrounding Ronaldo, and they're winning trophies. Very, very good again today. Very, very good.
Yeah, they were good. It was deserved. It was quite a good cup final.
Decent
sometimes
final.
Cup finals
decent
are a bit
final, yeah.
Like almost like both sides are too scared to lose it, but it wasn't really like that today. It was a good cup final. Although maybe that was just because I was in a good mood. Who knows?
You were in a good mood today. More on Spurs as you'd expect a bit later on, guys. Finally breaking the hoodoo. I remember this whole week I've been talking to Spurs fans and Chelsea fans, of which I know a lot at work and in my immediate family. Every Spurs fan was expecting to lose, and every Chelsea fan was, I say every Chelsea fan was expecting to win. I think on any ordinary season, most Chelsea fans expect to win that fixture at Spurs. And there was
I think they still thought they were going to win today.
I think you're probably right. And there was a lot before the game about this is a bit of a bogey team for Spurs. Chelsea always come to Spurs and they win. Not today.
Even Kane mentioned
not
it.
Not today.
Didn't he? Even
very
Kane said,
good.
You know, it was a long time coming. And I was like, yes, Harry. It was.
Yeah, very good. Overall in FPL, though, and of course we are here to talk about FPL. We'll talk about game week 25, what we've seen so far. And as usual, it's a Sunday night, and in a double game week, that usually means, Sam, we've got fixtures still to go, which we do. We've still got the second Arsenal game, the second Liverpool game, the second Everton game, the second Wolves game.
Looking forward to that?
What, the Liverpool-Wolves game?
Yeah.
No.
It's not on the TV, darling, so it's
thank
okay.
God for that.
You don't have to watch it. Instead, while you're playing, you get to watch Spurs.
Oh, I feel like this Sunday night is becoming a regular therapy session for me to get off my chest how I feel about my team.
You drew and this week. It wasn't that bad.
Oh, we're going to talk about my lot. Goodness me. but anyway, we've got two more fixtures coming in the double game week. And more football to go, right? More football to go. And of course, we're going to talk about overall ranks. We're going to talk about scores. One of us continues to move in the right direction. I have to say, the green arrow streak from Sam from FPL Family
so
continues. I think your remaining players could get zero each and you'd still be doing all right. Such is how good your game week has been so far.
I don't
very
Salah,
good.
Though, so if Salah bangs midweek, that's
well,
gonna hurt.
I wouldn't worry about that. You've got plenty of other players and you've got, listen, it's going well so far. We're going to talk about your team. A bit later on, and my team, and we're going to talk about what we're thinking ahead of game week 26. So game week 26, a nice, normal-ish looking week of 10 fixtures. And then we go again into 27, and there's doubles, and Brentford, and Brighton, and others are back on our radar, having not been. So maybe. proof, if ever it were needed, that you can't just wear a polo neck shirt, and be a decent Premier League manager.
I thought you were about to say, proof, if ever it was needed, that the double game week doesn't mean we should all invest.
Well, that as well, actually, because there was some crazy hits knocking about, wasn't there?
Shout out to Si, who's bound to be in the chat. Minus 40.
Bonkers. Absolutely ridiculous.
Minus 40
But there
week.
Was people taking minus fours for Dwight McNeil. And taking like hits for double Wolves defence. And you're just like...
The ones I couldn't understand were the ones that were taking out Rashford for people like Dwight McNeil. What are you going to do now? What are you doing now? Because you've got to reverse it.
Oh, I absolutely would want Rashford against my lot at Anfield. I'll tell you that much.
You've taken a hit to take out Marcus Rashford.
Yeah. I will give a quick shout out to anybody. The 0. whatever it was percentage that bought in Sarabia this week. Well done. He's on 10. So,
why don't you
so
ever
well
do
done.
The shouts that you make on Sky?
Yeah, another one that I said on Sky would be a good shout, but I don't know. I wasn't expecting it, put it that way. I wasn't expecting that. But he's sitting on 10 points. It barely had touched anybody's rank, right? Because he's not owned by anybody. But if for whatever reason you did bring in Pablo Sarabia, whatever his first name is, can't remember. Well done. Well done. You've got a nice differential there. Let's go into the chat, Sam, and say hello
see
to
if
a
Si's
few
there,
people.
Talking
let's see.
About
of course
minus
he is.
40.
Nigel the Crab is in. Si, how are we doing? Good evening, he says. Minus 40 is for hardcore players. That's one way of putting it. That is one way of putting it. Joe Thurgood is here. How are we doing, Joe?
Hi,
he says,
Joe.
Hi, Lee and Sam. I'm on 27 points after a minus 8. Not great selling Kane to Darwin. Joe, many
Joe
people
I
will have done that.
Had a long conversation about this, and I was not keen on this move.
I know you weren't, but I tell you, many players did that.
Yeah.
The Kane to Darwin was definitely a thing. And
the other
and
thing is,
you're dead unlucky there, because Darwin... Yeah, there was a bit of noise about the shoulder. There was a bit of noise about rotation from Klopp, but I don't know. I think I probably expected him to play, and I do expect him to rock up against Wolves.
Well, that's what I
was going to
say. So the other thing is, Joe, it's not over yet, of course, because Darwin's probably going to play midweek, you would have thought. Although the noise surrounding him is why I didn't hand him the captain's armband. I was all about captaining Darwin. Yeah. And then the comments from Klopp, I was like, ooh, I don't like the sound of this. I think I'm going to go Saka instead.
Yeah, I agree. Mm. Daniel Banks is here. -4 for Darwin. At least McNeil turned up. So, just, yeah, get some points for McNeil turning up. Sam Bitness, I want Bruno back in my team too. Not loving Gakpo. That's the general feel I'm getting from the chat and I'm getting on Twitter, is that this was a difficult double game week, wasn't it? This is a difficult... There's not a lot of FPL points knocking about. In fact, it's only really Haaland, who everyone's kind of got, and no one sold, I don't think, unless you did Haaland to Darwin, but I don't think anybody's doing that. He got the 10-pointer, but outside of that, it's been pretty slim pickings, hasn't it?
I think the problem that a lot of these people are going to have, where you've invested in Liverpool, is if Fulham go out of the FA Cup in midweek, then suddenly Liverpool are playing in 28.
Yeah.
And you can't sell a player.
You're
going to
keep these guys, aren't you? You're going
to
keep
these.
So
then you're going to be sticking with them. If you've got Gakpo, you're going to find it very hard to sell Gakpo, particularly if Manchester United or Brighton stay in the FA Cup, which I think they both will.
Yeah.
So they both stay in the FA Cup, and suddenly it's going to be very, very hard to start selling out your Liverpool players, because you're going to have other things that you need to be sorting out for
totally.
Game 28.
Yeah, totally. And David Manuel is saying, Lee, you forgot about Martinelli. You're absolutely right.
I didn't forget about Martinelli.
You didn't. And nor did David, by the way. Very, very good performance by Martinelli again. All of that talk about, well, Trossard's going to come in and take his minutes. Well, actually, no. Trossard, as we saw against Brighton, can play false nine and played it reasonably well at Brighton. So it's actually Nketiah that maybe is a bit of a rotation risk. Either way, both Martinelli and Nketiah are now rotation risks, aren't they?
I mean, Arteta did say that Nketiah had been carrying for the last few weeks and he's not able to play
potentially
that many minutes, and he needed, you know, there needed to be some changing out. And I think this was an opportunity. Having rested Martinelli for most of game week 24, to then start him and move Trossard into the middle. And actually, Trossard, and he only played through the middle for part of the game, didn't he? And then he swapped him with Martinelli, and that's
at half time. That was the catalyst for the first goal, 20 seconds into the second half.
I think what we've got is what we kind of always knew, is that we've got rotation obviously between Martinelli and Trossard, but that rotation includes Nketiah now. And my fear for Nketiah owners is, whilst I think he'll play midweek, because I think you'll get more points, is Jesus is nearly back.
Yeah, sure.
And going into 28 when you want him, I don't think there's any security there.
Yeah, spoiler alert, I'm looking at an Eddie Nketiah move out, but more on that a bit later on. Joe comes back with another comment. Time to sell Akanji. Get in the bin. Get in the bin, Akanji, Joe Thurgood is saying. Scott Schrager, the OG, is in. Salah to Bruno, he says. Maybe. Possibly thinking about that. What else? Well, B is in. Hey, B, how are we doing? Coys, she says. Coys. Well, happy with that today. I had a good feeling about it and would never get rid of Kane, B says. Would never get rid of Kane. And John Robert Knight is in. Hey, John. Ollie Watkins is on a scoring streak. He is indeed.
5-5.
He is indeed. 5-5 for Ollie Watkins. And the fixtures going forward look pretty good for Villa,
they
look pretty good under Unai Emery.
They do.
Suddenly, Villa. They look investable.
Certainly, attack-wise, they look investable, don't they? Like, with Ollie Watkins, he certainly looks like he might always pop up with something, and on set pieces, which we already like, you know, penalties and stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. Liam Healy is here. Hey, Liam, how are we doing? I had a patron call with Liam the other week.
Did you?
Well, we had a chat about FPL, but one of the key things we spoke about was the fact that his team, Bristol City, never, ever, ever get penalties. They never get penalties. But at their first one in something like 450 days.
What?
Or was it 450 days? Or, yeah, 450 games. Or no, it can't be that long. 450 days. Had their first penalty last week. But they had another one this week.
Did they score them?
So it was, I think they did.
They got Man City in the week, didn't they? in the cup.
I think Bristol City do play Man City. Yeah. I think that is. I think
Come
that
on,
is
City.
The case. Yeah.
Bristol, that is.
What's the odds on a third game with a penalty for Bristol City?
Liam,
I mean, it could happen, couldn't it?
We
are
all behind you and Bristol City.
Yeah.
If Man City could play in game week 28, delighted with
that.
We'd
be happy with that. We'd all be Bristol City fans for the day, no doubt about it.
Oh, I'm definitely on the Bristol City train.
Torben Nielsen is in. He says, and there's a brilliant autocorrect in here, Sam. It says, it's going to be really easy, Jet, to sell Liverpool players after I guess Torben has been texting.
He's booking a holiday.
About holidays and flights and stuff. I love that. It's going to be really easy, Jet, to sell Liverpool players. Who else we've got? Mianna Sedholm is in. The Great Del Mondo, Heather, John Tan, a whole host of you guys in. So, guys, thanks for joining us here for another FPL Family here on a Sunday night. Sam, let's get into some of these games before we talk about game week 26 and our teams and how we got on in 25 and everything else. Let's go to the games. Can we just get it out of the way, please, and just not talk too much more about this game? I don't want to talk about the game because it was utter tripe. It was dreadful. The game was absolutely dreadful. The only talking point in it was that Henderson got in the way of a potential Trent free kick. Salah captainers and owners can feel a little bit aggrieved by the fact that he had one come off the underside of the bar. Liverpool defensively, dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. Well done. If you've got Trent, you've got Robbo. Well done. You've banked a clean sheet, but dreadful. Honestly, dreadful. The only reason we didn't concede is that Palace haven't got anybody that can score an actual goal. I think their top three goal scorers for the season were off the pitch for most of the game. Dreadful game. From an FPL perspective, though, what are we saying about Liverpool assets now? So, of course, Liverpool still have another game this game week. Wolves at home at Anfield on Tuesday or Wednesday? Wednesday. But going into game week 26 then, Liverpool have got Manchester United coming up at Anfield. How do you feel about owning Darwin and Robbo from your perspective going into that? Because you're a no Salah, right? I'm going to talk about what I'm going to do with Salah in a minute.
Well,
it includes the word bin. But what are you going to do about Robbo and Darwin going into 26?
Well, honestly, it really depends what happens with Fulham. That's the honest truth. If Fulham stay in the FA Cup, then I'm very likely to sell Darwin this week. I'll probably keep Robbo for now.
Yeah.
And sell Darwin. Mostly because I don't think they'll do very well against Manchester United, but also because the risk of rotation is there now. We've seen that Jota was available to start the match on Saturday evening. So yeah, we know that he's back in contention. We know that Luis Diaz is back in training at some level. I don't think he's going to be back in quickly, but at some level he's there.
Jota, by the way, I don't know what you made of his performance. I noticed he's fifth for XG underachievers this week. So,
well, he had one golden opportunity, didn't he? Where I was,
he did,
like,
actually. That's a fair comment.
Jota, and I thought, how have you not? There was one moment. I think you'd gone in the kitchen to get a cup of tea or something. You'd gone off to get something.
I
honestly thought, and there was another one where he sent the ball to Salah, and it was a really nice pass to Salah, annoying. But I honestly think the FA Cup is going to be massively telling. I think for me,
when will we know?
They're Tuesday and Wednesday. So Spurs is on Wednesday. I've got the feeling Fulham might be Tuesday.
So come the middle of this week, by the time Liverpool play Wolves,
you'll know.
We'll have a good feel, or we should know actually, whether Liverpool play
by the end of
game week 28.
Yeah, by the end of your double game week game, we'll know what's happened in all the FA Cup fixtures. So we'll know the fixtures that are going to be played that weekend and the ones that will be off because of the quarterfinals of the FA Cup.
So if you are, and I'm asking this for a friend, if you're in a position where you're thinking of raging out your Liverpool players because they're dreadful,
but you can't.
Should you wait until Wednesday, Thursday?
You
yes,
should,
okay. Because, asking for a friend.
Yeah, you should. I mean, and I've got two. And I have. You have to be patient, right? Because you know there is a chance that Liverpool play really well against Wolves on Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
You won't be able to watch
it,
so it doesn't matter. You know, it's not televised here.
Thank God for that.
So we'll just pretend. You'll be able to watch Spurs instead, because our FA Cup game's on that night. So you can sit with me and watch Spurs and forget it's happening and just look at the end result. But I think you have to wait. The key this week is going to be holding and just waiting. You've got to wait till the double game weekends.
There's so much information this week, isn't there?
You know, for weeks now, we've been talking about game week 28 and how big a blank that potentially could be and how much of an impact that's going to have on our transfers. Because obviously you want to prep for 27, with the doubles that we have coming up there, particularly with Brighton and Brentford, given that we know they also double again in 29.
Yeah.
But if Brentford are out of the FA Cup and therefore going to play in 28, then they're the perfect all investment.
Aboard. Yeah, all aboard.
And they're the priority then. And so all those questions that we were talking in the Slack earlier, and there was a lot of questions about, do you go Watkins or do you go for Ferguson or Matoma or do you go for Tony or Mbeumo? Yeah, yeah. And the answer is, we don't really know yet, because you don't know how, you need to know what your strategy is for 28. And when you can't know that until Thursday morning, Wednesday night, late Wednesday night. So hold.
That knee is going to be jerking for a lot of players.
Hold on Salah, on Darwin, on Trent. Whoever you bought in for Liverpool this week, just take a breath, let them play the game against Wolves. And at the end,
I feel like you're talking directly to me.
I am. And at the game, and after the game against Wolves, if they've blanked,
yeah,
there might be the moment to sell them. If Fulham have stayed in the FA Cup, if Fulham have gone out of the FA Cup, then and Liverpool blank, then you've got a big decision to be made.
Sure.
And it probably depends on what your team looks like across the rest of 28 before you decide what you're
going to
do.
Yeah, no doubt there is going to be lots and lots of information for us on Twitter and other areas over the next sort of 4 or 5 days. And it's worth knowing that stuff, right?
Absolutely. And the other thing about Salah is he's the most expensive player in the game. You can go anywhere from Salah. So price rises and falls, it doesn't really matter. If he drops by 0.1, so be it. You can still make the move because you're coming down. So don't knee-jerk, Lee. Okay. Don't knee-jerk.
I just want to rage him out.
Why? You can't rage him out straight away.
The silver lining, I suppose, if I can find one, let me try and be positive for a minute for a change about my team. That is now 3 clean sheets in a row for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Coming up against the Wolves side at Anfield, I'd like to think we'll be in a good position to win that game as well. The United game next week, one of the reasons, and you guys will see it in my team when I show it later on in terms of how I've got on in 25, I decided not to take any hits this week. I did my 2 free transfers and I did Stones out for Tarkowski and I did De Bruyne out for Salah.
Yeah.
So I kept Trippier.
Yeah.
And I kept Shaw, Rashford and Fernandes and decided not. And I played with 10 actually this week.
Yeah.
Now I'm expecting a little bit of a red arrow because of that.
Yeah.
But I'm expecting Bruno to pay me back in the next couple of weeks. So United, having just won the Carabao Cup, have now got a full week off, I think. Might be wrong.
No, they're playing the FA Cup in midweek.
Do they have an FA Cup? Okay. So they've got a cup game. But then they're coming to Anfield on Saturday, Sunday, next week. And then they've got Southampton at home against this new guy, Ruben Sellers, haven't they? They've just come out a difficult result against Leeds. That is one of the reasons I didn't want... Because first of all, I didn't want to take hits for like McNeil. I just was not like, this is... Where are we even at if we're taking hits for Dwight McNeil? I don't even know. So I'm keeping Bruno Fernandes and I kept him in my team because I think they're going to beat us at Anfield next week. Maybe this is my...
You've gone very negative about Liverpool again.
This game was dreadful. It was utter dreadful. And I know that we will get, in the same way that we did for the Merseyside Derby to a degree when we went to St James's Park, I'd like to think we're going to get up for this game against Manchester United.
We will.
But they are playing very well at the minute. And I would absolutely be... I'm going to be playing Rashford 100%.
Oh, yeah.
And probably Fernandes as well.
So, I don't think either side clean sheet in the Manchester United versus Liverpool game. I think it's at Anfield. The crowd will be up in the same way that you were for the other games that you've just mentioned. I think your attacking players can get returns in that game. I think you're right about Bruno Fernandes. I think he's going to be a really nice differential for you over the next few weeks because most people have sold.
He's been binned by a lot,
hasn't he?
Yeah.
Him. And a lot of people will not be able to get him back now, not because they don't want to, but if they don't play in 28 and you're trying to play through 28 without using a chip, you're not going to be able to invest in the likes of Bruno because you're going to have to really focus in on the double game week players, but also not bringing in players that cause you an issue in 28. So Bruno might be one of those players that other managers like me struggle to get to, depending upon chip strategy for 28. But I think Liverpool, it wasn't that bad. Like there were opportunities in that game. It was a boring game, that's for sure. But you had opportunities to score goals in that game. You didn't have no chances.
Yeah.
There were chances. Yes, you didn't take any of them. But as you've already mentioned, you know, Henderson did his best to stop you from winning the game by blocking Trent's shot. There were a couple of moments between Salah and Jota where they could have and should have got returns. And
desperately, desperately need some creativity in that midfield.
You do.
Henderson and Milner and Keita. By the way, that's one of the worst halves of football I've ever seen from a football player was Naby Keita.
Well, not only
but
that.
But those three, it's all industry and, you know, and to a degree hard work, although I don't think you can put Keita in that bracket. But there's no creativity there. No. And they struggled. And what happened was Palace sort of looked at that and went, okay, well, you get the ball wide if you want to. Get it to Trent and to Robbo. And every time Trent and Robbo got it, you notice they didn't go down the line and cross it. They were just trying to come in. Well, because if you go down the line and cross it, well, listen, you've got Mark Gahey there and Anderson. You're going to get no change out of them, presumably. And they were just forcing the fullbacks in the whole time, and it was just easy to defend against.
It's not only that. It's that so you played with effectively 10 men because Keita, I do agree, was terrible in the first half. But then Fabinho came on in the second half and was actually worse.
Oh, God, the guy's head and legs, it's completely gone.
It was worse. And actually, there was a moment where I thought, oh, you're going to get sent off again here. Like, yeah. You should have got sent off the other week. I can't remember that tackle he put on whoever it was, and I couldn't believe he wasn't sent off for it.
Yeah.
And then I thought he should have gone again. So you have had some problems with injuries. They seem to be resolving themselves. There was more security at the back. And I take on board what you said about how Palace don't have anyone going forward at the moment, and that's true. But defensively, you looked better. Like, you were fine. You were defensively solid. You just had no connection between the defence and the forwards because you didn't have that midfield security that you like to have. But hopefully, let's see what happens against Wolves. I don't think it's quite as need for the negativity. I think the performance was okay. Well, it was boring.
Let's see what happens against Wolves. I thought we missed Darwin massively.
Hopefully he'll be back.
You know, you never know what you're going to get with Darwin, but sometimes in a game like that, that's good because it's this whole kind of chaos ball theory. You never know what you're going to get. And in a game, that game needed it. It really needed it.
It'd be useful against Wolves because
I hope so.
They're not that good defensively.
I hope so. Let's have a quick word about our neighbours over the other side of Stanley Park. Everton 0, Aston Villa 2. We all lumped onto Tarko. Some of us even went double Everton defence. You know who you are. Quote in the comments below if you went down that particular road. But Aston Villa found a way to win. And in the end, it was the substitution, I thought, of Buendia coming on that made the difference. He's the one that passes it to McGinn, who then drives into the box for a penalty. I think he also scores the second goal, Buendia, if I'm not mistaken. He made the difference. Oh, props to Ollie Watkins, though. As you say, 5 in 5. Yep. Could have had more in this game were it not for a Pickford worldy save in the second half as well.
Sold Luca Dean, didn't I, this week?
You sold Luca Dean this week as well, yeah.
I was utterly convinced that Luca Dean had lost his space because Moreno actually had a good game the other week.
And he did.
Well, that's it now. We're just going to see Luca Dean for like 1-point cameos, and I really can't afford 1-point cameos. So I sold him. And it's just, I mean, it's typical, isn't it? And actually, there were a few moments in that game where he was unlucky not to get attacking returns.
Yeah, there's a couple of the Villa midfield as well. They did a bit of analysis on Match of the Day afterwards about how Villa's midfield, they play as a kind of two. It's Ramsey and I think it is McGinn. Let's say it's McGinn. But they play as a two, but they play like they stretch the three. So if you play against like a three, like Everton did in midfield, they stretch that three, and it's quite easy to play against if you're playing against a team that's got a three because of Ramsey's work rate. Ramsey, I thought, was brilliant, by the way. Not necessarily saying he's good in FPL. He was last season for us, if you remember. He was in a bit, wasn't he?
But yeah.
Ramsey was one of the reasons why Villa won this game, in my opinion. And they just outrun Everton in the end, and they had more legs.
And the thing is, the Villa fixtures are really nice moving forward.
Well, good shout. Let's have a look at those. It's Palace at home next. Palace, who are on a bit of a, despite of what I would say on paper is a reasonable looking point against us lot at the weekend, they've not been great recently, certainly not scoring many goals. So Palace at home for Villa, followed by West Ham, a single game week against West Ham. Then Bournemouth at home in 28. That could be very useful. And then Chelsea, Leicester, Forest. Yeah, I mean, those fixtures look great for Ollie Watkins' investment or elsewhere if you wanted to. Difficult to know where else outside of Watkins, though, isn't it? Because of the chopping and changing with the likes of Dina and Moreno.
I think you can go for Mings. And if we think that there's going to be some defensive security at Villa, which there does seem to be, and in the fixtures that they have coming up against the likes of Bournemouth and Palace, who aren't scoring a lot of goals, you might get some defensive security there. And what you do have with Mings is security of starts, because he's not going to get changed out. And he does go up for set pieces. So there is potential there, you know, maybe. But I think Ollie Watkins is the standout pick for sure. And if you are at a point where you are looking to change your forward line, and a lot of managers will be, over the next few weeks, a lot of managers will be looking to swap out Nketiah when Jesus comes back. And maybe you don't necessarily want to go straight to Jesus. There'll be managers looking to sell Darwin if Liverpool blank in 28 and if you don't do something against Wolves. There will be managers that are kind of just changing around how they play their front three. And it's particularly like if Tony, he's got two more bookings to pick up till he's suspended again because he's on 8 yellow cards now. So if he picks up a couple of bookings over the next 2 weeks and misses the doubles, that could be a bit of a disaster. So there will be managers looking to make changes in their front line. And Watkins' form at the moment, alongside the fixtures and the teams that he's got who are conceding goals, makes him a really strong pick, I think.
Mm. Yeah, top for shots across the game week, actually, so far, with four, tied with Alvarez, actually, from Man City. So, yeah, listen, underlying stats look all right. And actually clocked up a 1.53 XG. I noticed he's second for XG underachievers across the game week. Top was Morpie, who had a couple of really good opportunities for Everton, but fluffed his lines. Whereas Watkins got the goal, but in an XG of 1.53. So he is definitely in that XG underachievers list, despite getting the goal. So what does that tell you? That tells you he had some pretty good chances.
Should have got more than he did.
Should have, yeah, maybe had more than just the one goal. Before we move on, Sam, super chat from Stu, who said, John Motson, legend. Yeah, absolutely, Stu.
Oh, absolutely.
Really, really sad news to hear the passing of John Motson over the last couple of days. Yeah, totally.
And the Palace tribute to him, I thought, was really lovely.
Really good. There was a few, actually. One at West Ham as well, which was very, very good. Yeah,
I liked the Palace one because I think the last commentary he did was at Selhurst Park, and they put his mic down with a picture of him commentating on his commentary box.
Yeah,
and I thought it was lovely.
It's a great shout, that, Stu. It's really sad news, that, because... I've listened to John Motson commentate as long as I can remember watching football,
life,
to be honest with you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Good shout, that, Stu. Yeah, really good shout. Where else do you want to go with some of these fixtures, Sam?
Well, I think just a quick shout on Everton, because a lot of us invested in Everton because obviously they've got the double game week and we don't know what's going to play out in the second part of the double. But if we're honest, I think most of us invested in Everton for this game against Aston Villa because the second part of the double game is against Arsenal.
Yeah.
And given that most of us...
Not expecting much there.
No, and given that most of us went defensively into Everton with the likes of, you know, Tarkowski, maybe with a bit of Mikalenko or Seamus Coleman or Pickford himself in the mix, just, you know, as either a secondary, because there were a lot of people that doubled up on Everton. And I think, you know, looking at the way things are going to pan out, you do have the benefit of them playing in 28, which makes them a difficult sell.
Okay.
But I think if you've got Tarkowski and only Tarkowski, you just hold him because you can easily move him to the bench. You don't have to play him
for the next few weeks.
He's useful. But I think if you've doubled up...
If you did go out and get McNeil, what now?
Well, I think, again, you have to wait to see what happens on Wednesday evening because... There's no guarantee that he's going to blank against Arsenal. However, I do think that the forward and the midfield positions are going to be really important over the next few weeks because getting those positions right is where mini leagues can be won and lost, overall rank can be gained, more so than the defenders. And I think having somebody like McNeil long-term is not going to tick over... Look, Everton aren't going to score hundreds of goals in this period, whereas you've got other teams, like even Aston Villa, who've got the fixtures where they could score a lot of goals.
Yeah, totally.
So
yeah,
I think you sell, but you have to wait and see what happens in midweek before you make any decisions on who you're selling this week.
Very good. All right, very good. Let's go to Bournemouth 1, Man City 4. So all the talk of Saka versus Salah for the captaincy this week, and probably most of us would have been better off just not moving the armband at all and leaving it on Erling. Goal and assist for Haaland. I have to say, and I do want to talk about the Mahrez and Foden situation in just a second, but I have to say, I thought Bournemouth kind of came into this game with just not a lot of belief. I think they kind of went into it just seeing it as a bit of a free hit. If we can get something, then great. If not, then we're kind of expected to lose. So, all right, so be it. But so to kind of lose 4-1... Is this the start of Bournemouth becoming maybe whipping boys in a team to target or no?
No, I don't think so. I think you're right though. I think that's exactly how they went into the game. I think they saw, and there was some interesting commentary before the game last night where they were talking about how Bournemouth would see this game as a bonus game. And if they picked up anything, great, because it's not one that they budgeted for. You know, at the beginning of the season, they'll sit down as a club. They'll go, at the time was with Scott Parker, wasn't it? And they'll go, right, these are the fixtures that we would see as being kind of our winnable games. These are the ones we should be expecting something from. Man City definitely would not have been on the list where they would expect to get points. And sometimes that has a what the effect that it had on Bournemouth. It kind of, they were in themselves. They didn't play well. But sometimes it goes the other way, doesn't it? And it kind of, they just play without fear because they're not expecting anything. But we certainly didn't get that from Bournemouth.
Shout out to Chris Metham, who I just noticed got a yellow card, an own goal, and conceded four goals. What's that, minus three?
I think
what
so.
Is that? Is that minus
it's
like three?
It's a bit of a disaster. If you mean, if you've got Chris Metham on your bench, imagine thinking, oh, it's all right, I've got Chris Metham, he can come in.
It's a stinker, that, isn't it?
I don't think he's highly owned, thank goodness. But look, I think Bournemouth have always been a team to target. For weeks now, they've been a team to target because they've been conceding goals. I think that continues, but I think this said
so
more...
who are we targeting them with then? So Bournemouth coming up, it's the Arsenal game next in 26, of course. So here we go again.
Well, we're all on Arsenal anyway.
The Saka or whoever from Arsenal captaincy thing is going to come back around. There's the Liverpool game in 27. So again, there's another reason potentially not to sell your Darwins and Salahs because they've got the Bournemouth game coming up in 27. And then there's the Villa game. So we've already mentioned, you know, Watkins and others. So, you know, Bournemouth are going to have an impact on our FPL teams, I think, over the next 3 weeks.
Are,
but probably not in the way that you'd think. Certainly not from a buying perspective.
Invested.
But from an Arsenal, Liverpool and Aston Villa perspective... yeah, there's going to be some points, I think, to be had against Bournemouth over the next 3 weeks, which is why I asked you the question about are they a team to target?
I mean, I don't think they'll play as badly again as they did against Man City in those games, because I think, you know, well, the game against Arsenal, they might, to be honest. But I think if I was them, I'd be like looking at them going, right, we've got to change our mindset. We can't go into games thinking we're going to lose against these big teams. We have to go and play and compete and be challenging and be brave. And we were none of those things against Man City. They let Man City have the ball. They let them dominate.
I just wonder though, sometimes, and you get this sometimes, and I'm this is just an anecdotal thing I've got rather than any evidence to support it, as usual with me. But I sometimes feel like, you know, these clubs like Bournemouth that are down there, they look at this period of games and they go, oh, City, Arsenal, Liverpool, bloody hell, I'm not going to get anything out of that. Let's just sort of see these fixtures out and see where we're at after. And maybe they go into, Villa, Fulham, Brighton, Leicester, and they go, all right, well, they're winnable, but for the next three, let's just see what we can get out of them. And if they take that sort of mentality, like they did against City, to the Emirates, they're going to get battered by Arsenal.
Yeah, they
battered.
Will.
And even we've got half a chance of beating them at the Vitality in 27. So I just wonder whether the next three could be a bit... Could
maybe
we see this sort of Bournemouth against Arsenal at the Emirates? And if we do, then it's Saka captain all the way, isn't it? Or it's Arsenal captaincy for 26, I would suggest.
Yeah. I mean, you still don't have Saka, though.
No, well, not at the moment, no. But in a game week where Haaland and co are going to be playing against Newcastle, albeit at home... tricky looking fixture against a team, well, you know, one of the best, if not the best defence in the league, Newcastle in 26. Whereas you've got Bournemouth going to the Emirates. I mean, yeah, for me, that's Arsenal captaincy, isn't it? You go against that. That's definitely a week to back against Haaland in the way that Rashford captain us did last week.
Maybe.
Yeah?
I don't know that I would back against him next week. I think Haaland is still the standout captaincy pick next week. Because now that Newcastle, we said this, if Newcastle lose the League Cup final, they are in a slump at the moment, and actually thought they played well in the League Cup final. So I don't want this to come across as I'm negging on them, because I'm not at all. I thought they played well. However, believe me, as a Spurs fan, I know what it means to lose a cup final. We lost a few over the years, and because we don't win trophies, and it doesn't always. You don't always bounce back from it in the way that you would hope, and I worry.
But listen. You know, City are not banging 3-4-5 past.
You put two past them.
Nah, come on. Sit.
You put two past them.
Sit. Newcastle will not get turned over, whereas Bournemouth could get turned over by Arsenal. You've got to put yourself, and the boys from The Wire say it brilliantly. Late Riser says it. He says you've got to put yourself in the position to get lucky in FPL. And
oh,
I think if you go
do.
And captain an Arsenal player against Bournemouth, you're putting yourself... People will say, oh, that's lucky. But I'm putting myself in the position to be lucky by captaining Rashford last week rather than Haaland. Saka next week rather than Haaland. There are going to be some weeks to go against Haaland, particularly for chasing. I get it if you're up in the heady heights where you are, you've got to play safe. But if you're chasing in your mini leagues.
Haaland's records at home are obscene.
I get it.
It's a home game, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Against Newcastle.
So, like, for me, you never back against Haaland at home because he's always likely to double-digit haul. Even against Newcastle, Haaland at home is still not a bet I would want to take against, I don't think. Okay. Even with Arsenal having Bournemouth.
All right, let's do a couple more of these games then. I do want to have the conversation about Phil Foden. Is Phil Foden now back on the radar? Because as I sat here and said last Sunday, and you completely disagreed with me, as soon as the Champions League rolls around, Mahrez is a problem. And here he is, rested again. You said, well, they won't rest him because he's playing brilliant. He's the best thing about that team and they won't win without him. 4-1. And Foden's come in and done a brilliant job. So how are you feeling as a Mahrez owner now?
I didn't see it coming. I thought Mahrez would play because it's not the Champions League midweek. It's the FA Cup. I thought he would bench Foden this week, play him in the FA Cup. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the FA Cup midweek and what kind of team he puts out. My feeling is they've got a relatively nice fixture in the FA Cup where they shouldn't really need to put out.
Bristol City, they get penalties now. Don't know if you heard about this from Liam.
Sorry, Liam. But really, can you see Pep putting out full strength team against Bristol City? Really, if we're really honest, he's not going to,
probably
is he?
Not. No,
he's going to play Alvarez. He's going to play.
So what are you about to tell me that you're holding Mahrez then? Because I can't believe it if you are.
I don't know what I'm doing with Mahrez yet.
I think he's an easy sell now that Foden's back in the picture.
I don't know what I'm going to do about Mahrez yet. I'll ponder on Mahrez this week.
Right.
I don't know who he's an easy sell to. Because I've got Rashford.
Brighton midfielder, probably.
Well, I will want a Brighton midfielder, but I don't know yet which one. I don't know whether I want March or Matoma, and I don't know until I've watched them in the FA Cup. I'm probably not going to know which one I want, and maybe actually what I want to do this week is roll my transfers that I've got two heading into 27, where I can make a better judgment call on which Brighton and Brentford assets it is that I want.
Oh, there we go. So FPL Harry's in the chat. Hey Harry, good evening. He's saying Chelsea are rubbish. No, he's not. He's saying I'll be selling Mahrez soon for Mitoma. So there we go. There, he's thinking of that exact move to Mitoma.
Interesting that it's Mitoma over March, because March's underlying stats are way better than Mitoma's over the last couple of weeks.
Mitoma's a baller though, isn't he? That's the difference. Right, let's talk about where else can we go?
Let's go to Chelsea. Harry's here.
Harry's here. It's a surefire way of making him leave. Sorry, Harry. Spurs 2, Chelsea 0. I think I did. Was it here last Sunday or was it on the Ohana podcast on Friday? But I said three things are going to happen over the next week before. Oh, it was Ohana on Friday for the patrons. I said three things, Sam, are going to happen before the next Ohana podcast. One is that Spurs are going to beat Chelsea. Two is that Man United are going to win the Carabao Cup. And three is that Graham Potter is going to get sacked.
Two out of three.
I've got two out of three so far. What do you think the chances of three out of three are happening? And what do you guys think? Get in the comments, get in the live chat. Let me know. Is Graham Potter on the edge? I think he is.
I mean, I think he's on the edge, but I think it's more of a question of what's the owner want to do next.
Because Harry says, oh, bye, I'm going now.
Stay, Harry. We won't talk for long. I think that the owner has put himself in this position, really, because he went all in for Potter, didn't he? He didn't want Tuchel. He wanted Potter. How much time... Because I think the answer is Harry probably won't want to hear this, nor will the other Chelsea fans. But the answer is
just says sack him now.
And I know, and that's what
the Chelsea fans,
and that's what all Chelsea fans want. But the reality is, with a manager like Potter, the answer is you give him time. At a club like Chelsea, you don't get time. You have to get things now. There has to be a trophy tomorrow. There has to be a 5-0 victory.
My God.
But it's true, isn't it? But
of course it's true. When they signed him, I think we sat here and had this exact conversation. Great manager, won't get the time.
Yeah.
What's happened? Great manager. He's been getting £500 million. So here's a bunch of new players. And let's face it, this is the Premier League. It takes 2 to 3 years or 18 months to 2 years to get a squad gelling and playing well together and actually challenging for the title. Arsenal proved that is the case. Liverpool proved that is the case. Erik ten Hag is proving that is the case. Why can't Chelsea Football Club do it?
Because
they can chuck £500 million at players and they go, right, manager, you've got to be winning immediately, Graham Potter. I don't get it.
But
I just don't understand the football club.
Because the owner thinks he's playing FIFA. Or
just don't understand.
What's it called? The manager programme. What's it called? That Championship manager.
Football manager. But as Harry says, right, two wins in 16. You can't ignore that stat, right?
There's not one away from home since October the 16th.
We can sit here and talk about, you know, give him time and all the rest of it, but two wins in 16. And as Scott Schrager's saying, one goal in 2023.
Look, it's bad. It's really bad.
It's bad.
I don't disagree. And believe me, I talk a lot about Chelsea because I come from a household full of the fans. They both want him sacked as well, by the way. But I think, and I think he will get sacked. The question is, does he get sacked this week? And I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how proud the man, like how proud is the owner? How much is he prepared to stick by the decision he made? And how much, because where's he going to go? If he sacks Potter, who is he going to get?
I don't know, Sam. Anyone.
Tuchel back is the rumour.
According to the Chelsea fans, anyone will do it. Harry's saying he'll do it. He's 3K rank. What could go wrong? Chelsea, though, fourth overall in the FKL FDR, the fixture difficulty rating table, with some decent... Listen, they've got the fixtures to turn it around. Three of the next four home games are against Leeds, Everton and Villa. And then they've got to play us in 29 in a double game week. So that's hardly difficult either. So they've got, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 home games in the next five, and the away is Leicester. I mean, if ever there was a fixture run where they're going to be able to turn it round, it's at Stamford Bridge in front of their own fans. Or is that a bad thing at the moment because of the pressure cooker that, well, Stamford Bridge is going
to
be?
Southampton went there and won. Mm. That tells you a lot about what you need to know. And the boos and the noise in that stadium.
So from an FPL perspective, so we've gone off on a Chelsea rant there, as I tend to do. From an FPL perspective, though, you've got Kepa, you've got, unbelievably, you've got Badashiayi. What are we doing about Chelsea and FPL?
Hold.
Come on.
You have to hold. If you've invested in Chelsea players, Lee, for goodness sake, you cannot sell them again. You've just listed the fixtures. They have to turn it round. If they do not turn it round...
If you're a João Felix owner, you're selling for Watkins or Tony this week. Easy.
Well, I think Watkins or Tony is a bit different because they both... So Watkins is going to play in 28 as well, so you're not causing yourself any more issues.
Yeah.
But I think, you're not going to change Kepa out. That's just facts.
I don't think so. Not before. It just feels like a luxury thing if to do got, before you play your wild card, I think.
Yeah, if you've got another Chelsea player, if you've got Reece James, if you've got Badashiayi like I have...
What are you doing with Badashiayi now? You're going to hold him.
Did you see how bad they were defensively today? The kid's got to play next week. They were so bad today.
I think it depends out what on the Thiago Silva situation, because if Thiago Silva is injured, I mean, that was... You should have seen Chelsea Twitter going to a meltdown when he went off injured, as if to say he is important to us. And I knew he was Chelsea. I know he's important to Chelsea, but I didn't realise quite how much, I don't think. So that's bad for them, no doubt about
it. Well, you saw the meltdown that Spurs went into when Bentancur went. You have to have a good replacement. And I'm not sure that... Well, let's see. Look, I think if you've got a Chelsea player at the moment, I would hold for next week. I think game week 26 is an opportunity. Don't think we all have to make changes going into 26. There's some hard games where good teams that we're invested in are playing each other. Difficult games to call. My feeling is, if you can, you roll through 26. You hold what you have. You get yourself the opportunity to watch how these fixtures pan out. You understand the FA Cup and what 28 is going to look like. And then you use your two free transfers going into game week 27 to prepare yourself for the double in 27 and also for the blank in 28, and it puts you in a nice place. That's my feeling.
All right.
So if you have Chelsea, I think you have to give them 26.
You see, I disagree. I think as teams you can move on early that have got doubles. I think you can move on Brighton. I think you can move on Brentford. I wouldn't even go against moving on Ollie Watkins if you wanted to against Crystal Palace at home. And I think there's some games in there like United versus Liverpool where you might want to move on some other assets and start getting on the Tonys and the Mitomas and others early. But
to see what happens in FA Cup.
Well, to a degree. But if that goes the way that we want it to, I would not tell anybody not to go early on any of those teams that are going to double in 27 because the fixtures in 26 look all right. Talk about your boys then. Decent performance, right? I mean, Chelsea were bad. We've done that to death. But listen, Spurs got the job done and a great goal from Skippy, wasn't it? What a strike. Oh, he ain't going to hit one like that ever again. Goodness me.
Didn't you feel proud, bless him? First goal for Spurs.
No, you're right. Yeah, you're absolutely wrong about that.
I felt proud.
Yeah, okay, good.
I felt very proud of Skippy. One of our own, he is. it was the best performance I've watched us play against Chelsea in a very, 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 very long time.
Yeah.
And I think I was really worried a few weeks ago when Bentancur got injured and went off. I was like, our season's done. We might as well pack up and start training for 23-24 because we're dead. Actually, Skippy has really stepped up and he is helping that midfield, and it's really good. I think, and I hate myself for what I'm about to say, but I think we've looked so much better since we've not started with Son. Like, since we've been playing Kulusevski, Richarlison and Kane up top, it's really working. And it's working with him coming off the bench with fresh legs that are fast to go against these tiring legs from the other team.
Can I just give a bit of a shout out to somebody that you have been negging on all season? Mr. Emerson Royale is playing out of his skin for you at the minute. I noticed across the whole game week so far, he's top for tackles made, successful tackles with 10, which is... two more than the next best, which is Maitland-Niles at Southampton and Gay for Everton. Emerson Royale has turned into a player from somewhere.
He got
in the last couple of weeks.
So he has spent over £1 million, apparently.
Emerson Royale has.
Well, listen, Conte said this in an interview
on a
cryogenic chamber in his house. Genuinely, he's been doing this. He spent a load of money. And Conte was like, Conte said in an interview, I told him he was rubbish and he needed to improve. He asked me how. I told him what he should do. And he went out and he's done all of this stuff. Well,
he's bought... Right. Stop. He's gone out and spent £1 million on a cryogenic chamber.
In his house.
What rubbish are you reading? Where is this on? Where is this?
I'll find you the quote. It's from Conte.
SpursRumours.net or something, is it?
Conte spoke about it directly. How they'd had this conversation, he told him he wasn't good enough, etc, etc, etc.
What I'd like, Sam, is for you to bring this news out 2 or 3 weeks ago so we could all get him
in
the FPL.
I told you this a few weeks ago. I remember when he said it, I said to you, Conte spouting nonsense about this cryogenic chamber. I don't even know what one is. I looked it up. And then I was like, I can't see it'll work. Emerson's just rubbish.
Can anyone in the chat verify this? I don't believe it. I can't believe that he spent £1 million on a cryogenic chamber.
It's not just on the chamber. It's on a load of other stuff as well.
And now for some reason he's... Michael said this is true. This can't be true.
It's true.
This can't... I'm not having it.
It is true. He's genuinely committed himself to improving his game. He's spent his own money. He's got his own personal masseuse person now.
You'd be telling me he's on the horse placenta next or something.
Probably,
do you remember all that?
He probably is. Oh my God. He's probably friends with Glenn Hoddle. That's probably what's going on. But genuinely, the man has changed it around to the point where when he's on the team sheet, I feel relaxed.
He played very well.
It's a complete change because before... I used to see his name on the team sheet and be like, oh my God,
you
it's Royale.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Now, I'm like, is Royale playing? Oh, good. Because now we've got some proper... He's playing really well in the link-up play between the defence and the forward line. He is getting back. He's defending well. I think it really helps that Ramiro and Dyer are solid. They're a solid pair together.
Yes.
Ramiro's controlling his anger the last few games. Got through a couple of games now without picking up a yellow card. And that's impressive. So you've got strength in the middle. He's playing that nice three with Longley as well. He's letting Davis play down the other side, which also is working really nicely.
Ben Davis actually living his best life, isn't he, now that he can attack again.
And it's working well down that side. Plus then in the middle, you've got the really nice relationship that's going at the moment between Højbjerg and Skip, who is covering for Bentancur, so we're not noticing he's missing.
Yeah.
And Skip, and the loss
you ain't going to play Chelsea every week, though, are you?
Well, no, we're not going to. We're not going to play Chelsea every week. Having said that, that's another clean sheet for Spurs.
Yeah.
Like we said that for Liverpool. This is another clean sheet. We've got Eric Dier getting an assist in this game. We've got Emerson Royale and Ben Davis picking up attacking returns last week. And I said last week, if it wasn't a double game week this week, I'd probably be advising people to get Emerson Royale or to get a Spurs defender because the attacking returns are starting to come out of them and the clean sheets are there. Going into next week, the fixtures for Spurs still continue to look nice. That Chelsea game was hard.
It's Wolves and it's Forest at home in 27. The difficult to navigate, or could be difficult to navigate, 28 is Southampton, potentially Spurs Southampton.
Well, I hope that's off.
Then it's Everton and then Brighton. So, some reasonable fixtures.
The only negative for Spurs right now is there isn't a double game week. However... we have seen over the course of the last few double game weeks that the single game week players can outperform the double game week players. So the fact that Spurs don't have a double, particularly if you're planning to bench boost in 29 when everybody's playing, having a cheap defender from Spurs actually makes quite a lot of sense.
Could happen, yeah, could happen. And certainly the last couple of games where you've played very well, no surprise that Romero has been in there. I mean, this is a guy, he's up there for me. He's up there. I don't like him as a guy. I don't think I'd go for a beer with him. I think he's an S-house.
No, he's brilliant.
He is an S-house. But I'm telling you, because all Spurs fans will love him.
No, he's just an animal on the pitch. He's just an animal on the pitch.
He's not. He's an
S-house. He's a teddy bear in the chat. He's a teddy bear.
Let me finish. He's an S-house. No. But he is a top, top, top centre-half. I'm telling you, he's a top centre-half.
He is.
And if he was on my team, he could be as much of an S-house as he wanted if he performs like that. Because he has got everything to be one of the best. I think he's got everything to be one of the best the Prem has ever seen, I think. Genuinely, I think he's brilliant. He's name me a better centre-half in the Premier League right now. I don't think there's one.
I mean, he is playing incredibly well at the moment. Really, really good. And his partnership with Dier is fantastic.
Yeah,
and
I think he's really good, Romero.
And they are
honestly
off. And actually, the fact that Fraser Forster's doing well, because they are helping. They are working really hard, those two ahead of him, and they're helping him out. Look, at the moment, it's all going well. At some point, Conte's going to come back. That's my concern.
Yeah. Get well soon, Antonio, though.
Get well long term. Come back in the summer.
A lot of United fans in the chat saying, shut up, Lee, Varane, Martinez. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I'm just saying, he's good. He's good, Romero. I'll give him his due. I can spot a good player when there's a good player.
The other thing is, if you've sold Harry Kane, why?
Yeah, again, pops up with another goal. Mr. Consistent. Again, not really a game where he was really threatening at all and just pops up with a goal. I just don't know how he does it. It's unbelievable.
It's going to be his highest ever scoring FPL season, this is.
Yeah. Yeah,
scored
yeah.
more points now than he has at any other point in any other season.
I think if you take the approach with him that you have, which is just don't ever sell him, just don't even just leave him there, he'll get points.
You don't
and
have
he,
to,
and he has. It's great. You
know, the thing
he's
is,
obviously
you,
really good.
He doesn't have to return. People keep saying, "Oh, he doesn't get double digit hauls." Who cares? It like you get.
Well, okay, right. So in previous seasons, an asset of that value, we would all care. But this season, when you don't
you
need the value,
care. Yeah,
it's fine to have him.
You shouldn't yeah. care because Haaland's going to get a double-digit haul probably every month, one a month. But then he might blank a couple of times in that time. Salah, who knows what he's going to be doing off. Same with Bruno. You don't get the consistency. So yes, they might haul one week, but then they might blank for a couple. Over the course of a month, it's going to level itself out and they're going to roughly return the same points. Therefore, for me, Kane is essential. And if you don't have him, you should.
He's definitely not essential, but he's a really top asset. He's a top, top asset. Before we talk about any more of these games, Sam, let's a quick shout out to our patrons. Many of you are in the chat, so good evening, patrons. Hope you're all doing well. Patreon.com/FPL family if you want bonus podcasts, if you'd like Manager of the Month competitions, if you'd like Zoom calls with Sam and I to talk about your team over the next few weeks, if you'd like Slack community access to come and talk to all of our lovely patrons on a day-to-day basis, then all of that stuff is available to you. If you want a little bit more Sam and Lee and a little bit more FPL family in your life, then patreon.com/FPL family is the place to go. And everybody that joins the $5 Manager of the Month tier gets entered into our monthly competition, Sam. So if your season's going really bad, if you're having a bad season and you're just thinking, I'm just losing interest in FPL, crazy, right?
Who?
Crazy.
Why?
But imagine you're sitting there and you're having a bad season.
No.
But if you come and get involved with our monthly competitions, at the beginning of each month, we reset the scores, right?
We do.
Reset the scores. I track it all offline. So you just like all your team IDs. I know everybody's scores. I track it all in a spreadsheet. You haven't got to do anything else. You can still take part in your terrible season. That's fine. You can carry on doing that. But
I'm
every
not
month.
A terrible season. I'm definitely,
I know you're not. It pains me to say it. Doing very, very well. But I've lost my train of thought. Thanks for that.
If you're having a terrible season, you can come in, you can play the Manager of the Month competition, still have a good chance to win awesome prizes from our partners Kicking the Balls, which are displayed behind us.
Yes.
And
all that good stuff.
All that good stuff.
All that good stuff.
And honestly, I'm not just saying it because loads of them are in. The Slack community, they are brilliant. I so enjoy speaking to them.
If you'd like the detail on the story behind Cyberdet's minus 40 points, you get it.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's
we all take the mick out of him. We all ask him, Cy, what are you doing? We all kind of question why. People come in and they go, I've done this. I don't know why. We all go, don't worry about it.
What are you doing this week? So I'm minus 40. Oh, okay.
We even said,
just expect it now.
We ended our Ohana podcast on Friday by saying, Cy, don't do anything too wild. Saturday or Friday night, he pops up. Guys, I took a minus 40. We were like, okay.
That is how he rolls. And at the end of game week 24, because obviously 25 is still going on, but at the end of game week 24, it was all change in the Manager of the Month February competition, with Rajesh coming in at 266 points, Gavin in there with 264, and then Fred in there with 263. So former champion Rajesh has won it before, hasn't he? So
he's
now top of the shop, having a good season, Rajesh. Manager of the Month for February. But of course, we've got game week 25 to go. And then I think 26 as well, potentially, I think. Maybe I'd have to check that.
No, 20.
Or is 25 the last game week?
I think this is our last game week because it's March the 1st on Wednesday.
Is it March the 1st on Wednesday?
So 26 is going to be the start of our March Manager of the Month. So we are coming to the end. We've got two games to go to dictate who wins this one.
So this time next week, I'll be putting a graphic up here with the winner of the February Manager of the Month competition. But right now, it's Rajesh, Gavin and Fred that are in the lead. So congratulations to you guys and good luck to everybody else that's taking part in the monthly February Manager of the Month competition, and green arrows to everybody that is taking part. Sam, let's go back to the games. We're nearly at the hour, so we've got to rattle through a couple more of these games. Any more that you want to talk about?
Arsenal, we probably should touch on Arsenal.
Go on then. Leicester nil, Arsenal 1. And I noticed, actually, just as I was coming onto the live stream, that this was the lowest XG of any team recorded so far this season. 0.01 XG, Leicester.
Leicester?
Yeah.
This happened to you, Madison.
Really, really bad. I couldn't believe it was that low. Someone's going to tell me I've read that wrong or I've been pranked or something. But anyway, really low XG for Leicester in this game. Just not at the races at all. Arsenal, I thought they played all right. It was they were far from their best by their lofty standards that they've set themselves over the course of this season. But get the job done.
They didn't need to be their best today, though, did they? Yeah,
true enough. And Trossard, you know, he comes into the team, gets the assist. He had one ruled out for VAR, which I thought was very harsh, actually, for a foul by, I think, Ben White on
the
goalie.
Who's holding the goalie's hand.
But it just can't be a foul, that, in my opinion. But I can see why VAR might have a look at it again. But that didn't stop Trossard absolutely pinging it top bin. So were it not for a fairly flaky VAR call, he'd have had a goal and assist and, I don't know, suddenly on the radar, is he? I don't know. We've all got three Arsenal assets, or at least two, and we're kind of sticking with who we've got and don't want to make any sideways moves to Saka to Odegaard or Martinelli to Odegaard or anything like that. But now we've got Trossard in the mix as well, potentially putting his name forward.
Well, I think that if you've got Nketiah, at some point in the next couple of weeks, you're going to be looking to move him on.
Mm.
And then the big question is going to be, do you move him within the Arsenal camp? As in, do you go straight swap to Jesus? Obviously, got to find a bit of money. Or do you go for another midfielder? Like, do you potentially use that as an opportunity to get Saka because you don't have him yet?
Possibly, yeah.
Or actually, do you kind of use that moment? Do you not replace him with an Arsenal player? And do you go with somebody like Watkins or Tony or Ferguson or somebody to play the doubles? And you have to kind of make those decisions. But I think Trossard, before, I think we would have said no because he's going to be a rotation risk. And I think in many ways that still stands. And I think when Jesus comes back into the starting 11, that rotation risk factor will go back to being just between him and him and Martinelli, the two of them.
Yeah, okay.
And I think for me, I at some point, probably on wildcard, will be looking to move Martinelli on. Not because I haven't enjoyed owning him in the last couple of weeks, because look, he's scoring coming off the bench. And it's the same thing that we said about Son. Like, sometimes coming off as a bit of a super sub when you've come up against a team that's got tired legs for the last half an hour is positive. And we saw that with the Villa game. And we've seen that with Trossard as well. He's come on and done that in the last half an hour of games. But you just have to accept the rotation of minutes, I think, with those. And at their price point, I think that's fine. You kind of can accept the rotation of minutes. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think so. Yes, but I agree with what you're saying about Nketiah. I've got, you know, if he wasn't a frustrating enough own over the last few weeks with his XG underperformance, I mean, I've got him and Darwin up front. I mean, if I've got FPL points for XG, I'd be winning the bloody thing. but Nketiah missing chances left, right and centre last couple of weeks. Whether that was the reason Arteta took him out or whether he just wanted to give him a bit of a break, I don't know.
He did say he was carrying something, didn't he?
He did say he was carrying a bit of a knock, which for me is probably manager speak for I need to just take him out of the team for a bit and give him a bit of a rest, potentially. Do you believe that? I don't necessarily think he's carrying something.
I mean,
he might be. But anyway, yeah, with Gabriel Jesus now probably back on the grass and going to be in contention within the next few weeks, and Trossard potentially being able to play that. Well, not potentially. He was able to play that false nine position, wasn't he? And we had seen that at Brighton before when he was there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Nketiah's looking like a sell now, isn't he? Now, obviously, I've got him in the second game that's coming up against Everton in midweek. So I've got him for that. But going into next game week, in a game week where I've already said that, you know, you're looking at your Arsenal assets, I think, for probably captaincy, I think. I know you're going Haaland at home to Newcastle. That's absolute course. He's always an option, Erling Haaland. But if you're chasing, you're thinking about doing something a bit different, or if you want to back against Haaland, which I'm not against, having done it with Rashford the other week and seen massive gains, then going for an Arsenal midfielder or a forward against Bournemouth next game, it looks all right. But the one I'd probably go for is Saka. Now, I know Saka only got the 3 points in this game here, and it's Martinelli and Trossard and others that got the points. But I can tell you, this was a very, very uncomfortable watch and listen to as a non-Saka owner. Yeah. Very, very uncomfortable. Because I think he had one ruled out for offside. He was always involved, a constant threat. And when I look at...
He's their best player by a long, long way.
I look at the Saka captaincy and I look at the Salah captaincy. And I know Salah had one off the bar. But if you were going to say which of those were the most unlucky, I think I'd probably say Saka for his overall performance, you know. A bit unlucky to just get the three. Whereas Salah owners, I think you got what you deserved there, except for that under the bar. I mean, that, if that one goes in, it's a different story, right?
It is,
but
yeah.
But Liverpool were not good. Salah wasn't really at the races. Just a crap game. Whereas Arsenal probably could and should have had more in this game, and Saka was a threat throughout.
Yeah.
So going into the second game in game week 25, Saka's got Everton at home. Salah's got Wolves at home. I still think it's a bit of a coin toss. I mean, I don't think it's very, very difficult to say which one of those two is going to do well for their captaincy, their captainers. But I have to say, coming out of the games this weekend, not owning Saka, I feel like I got away with one. And I was then looking at Salah to do the business against Palace to give me that rank boost that I wanted as a Salah captainer. But I definitely feel like I got away with one, not having Saka. He's still their key threat. He's still their danger man, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, and I must admit, having watched... I mean, I was genuinely really concerned about not having Salah this week.
Yeah.
As a non-Salah owner, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a disaster. And then when we were out, weren't we, Saturday lunchtime, because there was no Saturday lunchtime game, when the news started to kind of filter that maybe Darwin and Nketiah weren't going to be in the teams. And I was thinking, yeah. Like, not having Darwin in that game. Darwin was my kind of hope for covering Salah.
Yeah.
If, you know, for want of a better way of putting it. And I was genuinely really concerned about Salah. I watched the game and obviously there was that moment off the bar and there was another moment later on in the game between him and Jota. I'm sure it was Jota that passed the ball to him. And I just couldn't believe he hadn't put it away. But other than those two moments, Liverpool didn't look great on the attack. And it kind of, I've come out of it feeling like relieved that he didn't get anything, but also kind of thinking, well, maybe I've just saved myself a problem because I don't think I'd have wanted to have held Salah and I'd have sold Kane in order to do it and I'd have had to restructure my team.
Yeah.
I think it's difficult if you've got Salah. Look, the reality is he has got a fabulous record against Wolves. There is every chance that on Wednesday evening...
Pretty good record against Palace as well, but...
Yeah, but there's every chance that on Wednesday evening at home in front of the fans, he turns it on, gets a couple of goals.
Yeah.
And if you've captained Salah, you're laughing. And if you don't own him like me, you're crying.
All right. Well, let's look at our teams so far, Sam, in game week... where are we? 25. Game week 25 so far. So another green arrow for you, which is quite incredible. The climb since the restart from 1.567 million, whatever it was you were, to now 71k. A game week score of 50. All right, you took a hit, but still a game week score of 50 this week is pretty bloody good, I think. There's not going to be many FPL managers that are engaged in the game that are up there. Total points 1572, overall rank 71, an overall rank change so far this game week of 17.5. Talk us through it. Pretty good, right?
I must admit, I'm very happy.
Happy with that, yeah.
Very happy. I've kept Rashford and Trips on the bench. I did sell Luke Shaw, and that's purely for the fact that I don't think they're going to play in 28. I don't see them clean sheeting against Liverpool in 26. So I kind of thought, right, I'm going to take a risk by not having Luke Shaw for 26 and 27. And I'm going to use it as an opportunity to try and exploit the Liverpool double game week this week. And I swapped him for Robertson. And so far, that's gone well. I mean, Robertson, I was so annoyed at the end of your game when Robertson got that yellow card. Didn't even do anything.
I think he was on for a bonus or two
he
as well.
He got a
right?
bonus anyway, but it obviously cost him a point.
Right,
so
right.
He's still got a bonus. We still got six, but it should have been seven because he was going to get a bonus and the clean sheet and no yellow card. So I was a little bit frustrated. And obviously, he's in a nice spot now going into the game against Wolves. Hopefully, he picks up some more points in that one. I'm glad I only went with just Tarkovsky. And Tarkovsky's a frustrating one, right? Because I don't expect him to get anything against Arsenal. I sort of had him in for the Villa game. I thought that might be the opportunity for him. And obviously, I took out Luka Dean for him. So that is a little bit of an annoying one. However,
still looking for him at every... I mean, he's going to score... I don't know, but he's going to get two or three between now and the end of the season.
I think
so. Is their key attacking threat?
I think so. And the thing is with Tarkovsky is, unlike Luka Dean, I can guarantee starts as long as fit. Whereas with Luka Dean, I don't have that. You know, there are going to be game weeks in the future where Moreno starts instead of him. And if I'm lucky, I get a 1-point cameo off the bench. Whereas I won't have that with a fit Tarkovsky. He's going to start. My Arsenal players doing me proud for the most part.
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously nothing for Saka yet, who was my captain, but Gabriel...
Three bonus for Martinelli and Gabriel. I mean, you've lucked out there. That's special. Sorry, not lucked out. You've done very well with those picks, Sam. Yeah, Martinelli and Gabriel, right. Both with the free bonus.
So Martinelli, maybe you can say I've lucked out. Gabriel, you definitely can't. I picked Gabriel over all the other Arsenal defenders a few weeks ago because he looks the most likely. His underlying stats were better for attacking returns. He's the most involved. And when you are the most involved, you are likely to get bonus points, which is why I picked him. Martinelli, look, I know what I'm getting with him. I'm not expecting regular starts, but I am expecting returns still because when he comes off the bench, he seems to be involved. I like the idea of him playing down the middle, and I thought he did really well down the middle in the second half of that game. Okay. I thought he was really good. So,
any thoughts on transfers then for next week? And I appreciate we've still got, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games, 6 players still to play in your team. So anything can happen. And we've got all this information coming this week that we said, you know, let's not make some early transfers because we've got to wait for that information from FA Cup ties and stuff.
Yeah.
All right, put all that to one side. Early thoughts on transfers and stuff for next week?
My hope was to roll into 26.
Okay.
To have two going into 27. The positions that are kind of negotiable at the moment will be the ones from the teams that do not play in 28. Because if I can, what I would really like to do is free hit in 29.
And attack that big double game week 29 aggressively.
Because I don't have my bench boost chip left. Yes. A lot of people will look to play their bench boost in 29. So what I'd really like is to be able to aggressively attack the double game week 29, pick out the players that have got the best double game week fixtures and really go for it. And that means I wouldn't then want to play the chip in 28. So that means I've got to try and get as many players as I can. Now, as it stands at the moment, I've got my two Chelsea players. I've got Tarko. I've got my three Arsenal players. Is that it? I think I've got seven at the moment. Obviously, if Fulham go out, then that also gives me Robbo and Darwin and Andreas.
Yeah.
So that Fulham game is really quite important. If Fulham can go out of the cup, I'm on 10. And and then I'm in a nicer place. Because I can get there easily. So I'm going to wait and see. I think if I think about the players that I could replace at the moment and the key buys for me right now, it will be to invest in Brighton. That's going to be the key.
Yeah. Who are you thinking?
So it's either going to be March or Matoma. The underlying stats suggest it should be March. The eye test suggests it should be Matoma. So I'm going to...
Are March's stats not inflated by that one game that he had where he was... Like, is that not, is that outlier not causing a bit of a spike in the stats?
No, because even when you average it, per 90.
Really?
He still beats Matoma in the stats. Yeah. So my feeling is that, you know, it's whether you want to go stats or eye test with those two. I don't really know what I fancy doing yet. So I'll be watching for that. Obviously, I think if Fulham stay in the FA Cup, I can see myself moving Darwin on first. That'll be one of the first transfers that I do because that'll put me in a place then where I can invest in somebody like Watkins or somebody like Ferguson or Tony who have the game in 28, well, depending on what happens with Brentford, but certainly with Ferguson and Watkins have the game, certainly with Watkins has the game in 28, and then the other two have the double in 27 and 29. So
just looking at kind of managing the players in my team. But Darwin probably is one of the ones that I'll look to move on. Maybe Mahrez. He's of my five midfielders. I don't really want to lose Pereira. I like having a cheap. I like just having a cheapie there. So I don't really want to lose him. So Mahrez is probably
the question mark.
And maybe Martinelli as well. But Martinelli feels more like a wild card decision rather than a now decision.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. All right. Very good. My team, on the other hand, not great. But listen, if you're going to have a bad week, this is not a. It's not a bad week to have a bad week, if you know what I mean. It's
it's true.
You've had a good week, and that's given you a nice green arrow. I've had a bad week.
So far, we're only halfway through.
We are only halfway through. I've still got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
seven
to play. Yeah, but I could say the same for about Saka. Right, I don't have Saka. You don't have Salah. Right, so we're both exposed from that perspective. So plenty of games to go, but Haaland with the 10. White with the 7. That's it. I've got nothing else. And as you know, I'm playing with 10 men because Fernandes, I hope he's going to pay me back over the next couple of weeks when he comes to Anfield and then goes to or Southampton go to Old Trafford. So I think that he and Shaw in particular could be decent differentials for the next couple of weeks. Shaw, I don't necessarily back for the clean sheet at Anfield, although I think at Old Trafford against Southampton he'll get one. So I'm quite keen to hold on to them. They are the form team in the league right now. And I just felt like taking a -4 for a Dwight McNeil or a Max Kilman was just like, nah, just not feeling that. And I feel like having those guys in my team, all right, it's given me a bit of a problem this week, but I'm hoping it's going to pay me back in the next couple of weeks.
The thing is that also you were already doubled up on Liverpool because the obvious way to go with Luke Shaw was a Liverpool defender. But if you've already got Salah and Darwin, I don't think you really want to treble up on Liverpool.
No, definitely not. Not the way we're playing. And in a way, I had so many, a lot of issues with my team, as you know, right? Because I had Stones and De Bruyne. De Bruyne was a big question mark because he was, ill, Pep was saying, throughout the week.
Yeah.
Then I had the four that blanked. I had Bueno, who was a bit of a question mark. So it's kind of coming into this game week thinking, I could go all out and go crazy with the hits. I could go -8, -12, something crazy.
40.
But I just felt -40, yeah. But I just felt like that wasn't the right thing to do because of the players that I'd be bringing in. So I thought, right, just get through this double game week. Just cross your fingers, hope for something from Salah, which hasn't happened. Hope for Saka to stay quiet, which has happened so far. And then come out of it hopefully about average, and then go into next game week with the United assets and probably bringing in some Brentford and some Brighton. So overall rank has gone down by 40%. So I was at about 80k, now at 118. So it's still fine, but it's just a bad game week so far. Needed something from Mo to make the difference. In terms of transfers for next week, I'm going to wait this week out. I mean, you're right. Everything you've said is absolutely correct. There's no knee-jerk decision to be made tonight. I'm going to be watching Love Island. I'll go to bed. I'll put my team down. That's the end of it, right? But once I know a lot of that information going into next game week, I am prepared to take some hits and I am prepared to move some stuff about. I am prepared to get rid of Nketiah. I am prepared to get rid of Darwin.
I don't think a hit is... I thought this was my first hit of the season. When I look back, I actually think it's my second. I think I took one in game week 3.
Mm.
And I normally I'm normally quite cautious when it comes to hits. And I only take them if I feel the real benefit of it. And particularly in a double game week, you can maybe see it. But sometimes you just have to kind of play. You have to play the game, don't you? And kind of go, okay, well, that's not really working. I want to get rid of this player because... Particularly if Liverpool aren't going to play in 28, you could look at that and go, right, well, he's got a difficult fixture against United. Who have you got in 27?
Let's have a look. In 27, it is Liverpool against... where are we? We've lost us. Bournemouth. Bournemouth away.
Okay, so you've got Man United. So you've got a game against Bournemouth and then obviously the blank and then difficult fixtures after that for Liverpool. So
yes,
you could argue, right, all right, well, I might miss out on a haul with a Bournemouth game. But now's the moment to move him on because in that same period, Tony or Watkins or whoever has got XYZ fixtures. And, I think sometimes we just have to take some chances. And if I had your team this week, looking at that, that looks like a great team for this week.
It does. But I've got, I think Nketiah is a problem now. And
he is.
But the other thing that makes me want to do Nketiah to say Nketiah to Tony or something like that, I then free up the Arsenal spot.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can get rid of this headache of not having Saka. And I can suddenly do a Salah to Saka if I wanted to. Save a ton of money. I'm also looking at Brighton assets. I do want a Brighton midfielder, same as you. I think I'd have Mitoma. I also really like the look of Purvis's Stupinan.
Yeah, yeah.
I would love...
Is he fit? Well, he went off injured, didn't he? So let's see what happens in the FA Cup.
Let's see. Plenty of news to happen. But Bueno to Estupinan, I would be absolutely up for doing something like that. And the reason I would like to do little moves like Bueno to Estupinan is because I've got the bench boost. Yeah. And I'm probably going to play it at some stage over the next 2 weeks. And I don't really want Nketiah, who might not play, Bueno, who might not play, you know, and Ward, who's a bit crap.
You're in the same position.
I'd like to get that 15 out and get like an Estupinan in for Bueno.
But you're in the same position. That's why part of the reason I got rid of my bench boost a while back, because I hate that. I hate knowing that you have to kind of sort your bench out. Like, I quite like the fact that I can just go, right, you three are my bench fodder. You're going to play every week, but you know.
But my 15 is, my 15 is 15. All right.
Yeah, yeah, it
is. I mean, Bueno to Estupinan, and suddenly that's bench boostable on any
absolutely.
Given game.
Yeah, yeah, it is, absolutely. So I think, you know, you're in a nice position with the bench boost. It's going to be a question of when are you going to play your chits, and you'll know that on Wednesday evening because you'll know what 28 looks like. You'll know whether that needs a free hit. If it doesn't need a free hit, your free hit probably goes into 29. Excuse me, unless you've already got the hiccups, unless you've already got enough double game weekers, and then you might want a bench boost there. And then that means that you can kind of look at what you might do in 27 and how do you differentiate that, or what might you want to hold? Because obviously we're going to know a little bit about 32 at the end of this week, because 32 is the quarterfinals. So that's going to be whoever's left in for 20, for blanking in 28. One of those from each match is going to blank for 32. So we're going to have so much more knowledge this week, and it will enable us to sort our chip strategies out and to work out what our transfers should be to make sure we have the best teams possible.
Okay. Well, as usual, in typical FPL family fashion, then, we are saying just wait it out.
Calm.
Lots of information to come this week.
Enjoy the cup.
Enjoy the FA Cup, all that stuff. Well done again to Manchester United fans. Enjoy the night tonight and over the next few days. I'm sure the players, actually they won't be celebrating too much because they've got plenty of football coming up.
They've got an FA Cup tie,
then it's Anfield next week. So they'll be maybe having half a shandy or something tonight, and that'll be about it. Tell everybody what is coming up this week, Sam, in terms of us on stuff.
Well, it's quite a busy week this week. So you're going to be on Off the Bench tomorrow.
I am with Mr. FPL Focal with Oscar tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that.
So you two will be on that tomorrow. That'll be out tomorrow afternoon. They'll be sort of looking at what's happened in 25 so far. Lee will rant about Liverpool, probably some Chelsea ranting in there as well. And then they'll look ahead a bit to kind of what's left in 25 and a little bit into 26. And then obviously we've got the main FPL pod, which we're recording on Thursday morning this week. And we'll be looking to preview game week 26 and also talking through the permutations of the FA Cup and what that means for us as FPL managers.
Will you know by then, when are you doing that? Thursday morning?
Thursday at 8 a.m.
So you should know most of the combinations and permutations by then. Okay, good.
Believe me, I'll have worked it out before I write the script, and we'll be all good.
Wednesday night, I'll be busy for you then writing that.
Wednesday night, I'll be watching Spurs in the FA Cup and making tweaks to the running order for that podcast.
Nice.
That will be happening this week. And then obviously, as usual, there'll be Ohana's. We'll drop some voice notes as we go through the week as well.
Oh, yes.
Obviously, we'll do something around the FA Cup, and we'll do something probably around the two final game week 25 fixtures and what they have meant for FPL managers.
Nice. Yes. And those the little voice note podcast, by the way, we're getting some really good feedback on those. So thank you to everybody that's listening to those podcast listeners. Thank you for hitting that subscribe and that follow button wherever you get your podcast, because that's really helping. We've noticed that actually over the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's been really good.
Since we've been putting the mini pods out there, you guys, thank you so much. You've been hitting that follow, hitting that subscribe in Spotify, in Acast, in Audioboom, in Apple Music, wherever you listen to the FPL Family podcast. It's making a difference. We're seeing the numbers, right? You guys are really getting behind it. So thank you so much for that. And if you're here watching us on YouTube on a Sunday night and you're thinking, missing out here, I'm getting some FPL Family content I'm not getting, you're absolutely right, because we don't put the little voice notes out on YouTube. We put them just as a podcast. So if you're liking what we do here on a Sunday night and you think, I don't need to go and follow them on Spotify or whatever, because I listen to them on a Sunday on YouTube, there are some mini, as we go through the week, podcasts of about 8, 9, 10 minutes, just some voice notes and some thoughts as we go through the week. Get over to wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe and follow over there as well, so you don't miss out on those.
You've also got another appearance this week, haven't you?
Have I?
Are we allowed to talk about that?
I don't know what I'm doing. What am I doing? Oh, yes, I can, yes, we can talk about that. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
I mean, they just know anyway because I whispered it to you and forgot there was a mic on.
I don't... Guess which one of us two runs the FPL family schedule.
I haven't even booked this one. Like, you've organised it.
I am going to be appearing, yes, with the guys from FPL Juice. So anybody that knows the guys from FPL Juice and you follow them very well all over Twitter... I've got a great YouTube channel, so go and subscribe to their channel, FPL Juice. You can go search for it in YouTube. they do a live show every Tuesday night, and I'm going to be the guest via Zoom on FPL Juice this Tuesday. So, yes, go and check us out. Well remembered. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
well,
I am on it. I do so listen when you tell me things. You're
going to be over there as well. That's it for this evening, guys. Thank you for joining us. Well done to anybody that's in the 40s or 50s so far this game week. Lots more games to be played, though, so look out for more Saka points, more Salah points.
I hope so. Come on, Saka.
More Salah
Gabriel,
points, hopefully.
Gabriel, please. Thank you, Gabriel. Another
3
Both
points
of them, Martinelli
for your Arsenal
well.
Assets, probably.
Nothing for Salah. Thank you. Nothing for Salah.
Leave us a like before you go, guys. Make sure you hit that like button before you go. Again, really helps us with algorithms and all that sort of stuff. So, yes, please leave us a like. And if you're new to FPL Family, hit that big red subscribe button right here on YouTube as well. We'll see you either on the FPL Off The Bench podcast, the FPL Juice Show, or on the official FPL podcast on Thursday. Until next time, guys, see you soon. Cheers.
Bye, guys.